Greetings this morning. In Christ's name, again, a privilege to gather together and worship the Lord. Been blessed by the thoughts, the truths, the things that we've looked at this morning already. Trust our service can continue to be an encouragement and a challenge to us and draw us to a closer relationship with the Lord. This morning I would like to center our thoughts around the thought of brotherhood relationships, somewhat an aspect of that. Brotherhood relationships is something that we all deal with. We all face. For some reason, God has drawn this group of individuals together and called us to work together. And we do that. We try to do that in a way that is pleasing to God for the furtherance of His kingdom. We are called to relate to one another closely, a lot more so than other groups. We relate together as a brotherhood. Presently, we are working together as a congregation and starting an outreach, starting another church. Seems evident that God has called us to that. And so there's a lot of discussion taking place. On Wednesday evening, we had a lot of discussion, and I appreciated the openness and the sharing by many, giving thoughts, sharing ideas. We need to do that. God has called us to that. Well, you know, that presents some challenges sometimes with the tendencies that we have within us in relating one to another, giving in one to another. It presents some challenges in dealing with the carnal nature that we all have to deal with. This morning, the title of the message, possibly a little bit of a different one, simply title it this way, Reactionary Actions. I shared on this subject. Actually, it ended up being a fair amount different, but I ended up sharing on this subject. It was assigned to me at Le Grand here several months ago. At that point, after I'd come back, a number of people had suggested that I share it here as well, and I hadn't really felt so led to do so yet, but felt led to do that today, although it did end up being a fair amount different than what I shared there. But reactionary actions, something that we all face, we deal with in one degree or another. We live in the flesh. We have that to contend with. Satan has his unceasing activity to destroy the church. That is his goal. He doesn't want to see the church move forward. He doesn't want to see us begin yet another church where Christ's word is taught, is practiced, is promoted to the many about that don't know the Lord. Well, we as a brotherhood must relate in all of this. We as a brotherhood must relate one to another almost constantly. We must work together and accept from each other the contribution that each one will make, that each one does make. And the bigger the group, the bigger of group we have working together, the more opportunity there is for misunderstandings, for feelings, for reactions to take place. You know, think a bit about it. Think about the differences that we have here. They're here. Let's face it. We have differences for whatever reason, for various reasons. We are made differently. Some people are more outspoken. Some are more reserved. Some are mild by manner. Some outgoing and aggressive. Some people are much more imaginative than others. Some definitely are not. Some people are very sensitive in the way that they look at things and relate to things and the responses that are made to other people. All of these things can and do create reactions. Some people are businesslike and practical. Others tend to be very optimistic and unrealistic, or optimistic but somewhat unrealistic. Differences in people's character can set the stage for reactions. We work with the effect of different backgrounds and opinions. We have our own points of emphasis, things that seem important to us. We have differences in home trainings, how we've been brought up, maybe how we train our children. I hope that there's not just huge differences in some of these things with the people of God, but yet there are differences. There are those differences. We have variations of moods and times of stress. Plain and simple, we are prone to reaction. But yet, again, we are called to labor together in harmony. Reactions can be very subtle, and oftentimes they are. They can be very subtle, and yet potentially they can take us very far. Reactions, I believe, are a result of feelings that are not always regulated by truth. Now, I will say that as you think about reactions, there's different ways of looking at this. Some we do react, and some reactions are okay if it's done in the right way, in the proper manner. But thinking of negative reactions, responding negatively, so often they are a result of feelings that are not regulated totally by the truth. And we'll look more at some of this later. I guess that was somewhat of a bit of introduction to my thoughts, and we'll come back to some of these things later on. My desire is to base our thoughts upon the Word of God. I don't have just a whole lot of scripture verses for us to turn to. I do have to have a number, but certainly there are some clear principles that I believe lay out the groundwork for this thought of reactions, reacting to situations. First of all, let's turn to 2 Corinthians 13. Turn with me there. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Paul here was praying for the Corinthian church at the close of his second letter, and he was concerned that the devil would make inroads into the church. We have a verse here. It would probably be a little more fitting at the end of the message, but I like it at the beginning here as well. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11, a farewell note. It says, "Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you." There's a number of words here that I want us to take notice and keep in mind as we go through some of these thoughts. The phrase, be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, and then we have the thought, live in peace. I hope and I trust that it is, that should be the goal of each one of us as we relate one to another. Well, how do we do it? How do we reach these things? In Scripture, there is a lot of teaching and the call to Christian conduct. And I want to turn to a number of these Scriptures and then keep these things in mind as we focus more on the thought of this danger, this challenge that we have of of reacting. Let's turn back now to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, read a number of familiar verses. 1 Corinthians 13, we refer to as the love chapter. Let's begin reading in verse 4 and read through 8. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail, whether there be tongues, they shall cease, whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Here we have love and conduct. It suffers long. It's kind. It mentions a number of things here. It envies not. It vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemly. What are some others here? Seeks not her own. Does not provoke. Thinks no evil. Bears all things. I believe if our love is this real, if it fits this description, then we will not have this problem of reacting in a wrong way. Let's turn now to Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4, and again, 4 through 8. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Again, if our minds, if our thoughts are on the things laid out here, especially in verse 8, again, there will be no reason for carnality of mind to rise up. Let's turn now to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 15. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Right, let's keep these verses in mind as we look at this thought of reactions. I have three facts about reactions that I want us to think about. The first one is the fact that it is a snare. This thing of negatively reacting is a snare. It can catch, it can trap, and it has the ability to entangle you and I. Children, do you know what a snare is? I looked that up a bit. We hear of that term. I wasn't exactly sure. Well, I kind of knew in my mind what a snare was, but it was kind of interesting. If you were in a forest and you wanted to catch a rabbit, what they call a snare is we would find this little rabbit trail, and we would take a wire and make a loop into it that makes itself tighter as it gets pulled upon. And we would place that loop on that rabbit trail, and we would tie the other end to a tree nearby. Now, what is supposed to happen is that when a rabbit comes along, it's supposed to step into that loop, and it somehow, as the rabbit tries away, it tries to get away, tries to run away, it pulls it tighter and tighter. Well, that's what a snare is. The harder the rabbit pulls, the harder, the tighter the loop becomes. That is a snare. Well, we're not going to be talking about entangling or catching rabbits this morning, but we are talking about something that can so easily catch and draw a person into bondage, as it were. It can draw us down very quickly. We're talking about something that can entangle human beings very much so, in a tight way. The snare of reaction can catch you and I in its tight grasp if we are not watchful, and it's set up and held on to by Satan himself. The second fact about reaction that we need to keep in mind is it entraps people who are unaware of its danger. So often that is the case. This thing of reaction is something that we deal with, that so often we do not really realize what is taking place. We don't realize what it really is. There's something within us that causes us to respond to things that happen, and so often it's spur of the moment things. We don't have a whole lot of time to think, and it happens very quickly. Spur of the moment responses many times are what comes into this category. We must be aware of its danger. The third fact, and again, some of these are kind of tied together, but the third fact is that lives are entangled. They really are. They are. It's not just maybe. This is something that we see. It's something that happens. It is a problem that is among people. Let's admit it. So what does the word reaction mean? The definition of the word reaction, as I found it and looked into this, is, first of all, it said a response to a stimulus. A response to a stimulus. Keep this definition in mind, because I believe it's important that we understand what we're talking about here when we talk about this word reaction. Secondly, it is a contrary or opposing action. That is the second definition of the word reaction. So in essence, what we're talking about is a response to something that is stimulating in your and my experience. It's a response to that. Maybe for some little examples here, just to show us what I'm trying to bring out, to get our minds to thinking. Let's say you work on a job with a fellow worker who is really slow. I mean, he is just slow. He just takes his time, he moves along slowly. He's always slow. He's just plain and simple, moving slow. And you get tired of it. You get annoyed. It gets under your skin. It's a stimulus. It kind of, well, it just bugs you. It's just plain disgusting. So what do you do? What so often happens? Well, so often what happens is you find yourself moving really fast. You're trying to make a point. You move fast here. You move fast there. You quickly go do this. You're trying to make a point without really saying anything. You want to be nice, but you're gonna make a point. Well, that's a reaction. You're being moved by a stimulus. You work extra fast. We call that a reaction. Or maybe you're at a grocery store and there's a sale going on. Let's say maybe it's milk. Maybe milk is on sale, and there's a crowd of people around the milk cooler just snatching it up, just in line. They're diving in there. And what do you do? How do you respond to that? I don't want any part of that. Okay, skip that. I'm going to go over here and get soy milk. Well, I hope my wife don't do that. But you respond. You respond in some way. Maybe you respond in another way. You're reacting to that crowd of greedy people. Are you following my thoughts here? Reactions. Another example. Dad always likes to come to church 20 minutes early. You'd rather arrive 2 minutes before starting time. What do you do about that? So you walk very slowly into church, just real slowly you walk into church and you linger out there in the back as long as you can, and finally you come slithering in the auditorium just in the nick of time. You're reacting to that. Maybe your brother is a big talker. He talks and talks and talks, and it's irritating. It's irritating you. So what do? You do just the opposite. You draw into a shell. You talk very little. You close yourself in. It's a reaction. Maybe you grew up in a church where tradition and practice and works were strongly emphasized. Perhaps you feel like plain clothes or a conservative lifestyle have become the members' assurance of salvation in that congregation. Perhaps you feel that church life has become formal and dead. You see hypocrisy around you. So you react to that. You're soured and disgusted with the way it is there. So you decide to move. You decide to move to a more spiritual setting, so you think. Somewhere where rules and church authority are minimized. Somewhere where faith is emphasized over works. Somewhere where this rigid formality does not exist. Or perhaps you grew up in a church where things were very loose. The members talked the talk, but they didn't walk the walk. They didn't live the Bible. Bible truths were ignored or explained away. Members were full of worldliness in appearance and in speech and in pursuits. They were not dealt with. Perhaps grace was promoted at the expense of obedience, and you became alarmed and you reacted to that. And you decided to move somewhere where Bible obedience is emphasized, where there are solid lines drawn and held, where worldliness is apparently not permitted. Here now I will find safety and security for my family. Here I will escape the worldly influences and exposure. And all of those things. Do you see the possibility? And I say likely reactions in those situations. We do. We respond to those things. We are creatures of reaction. If you think you're not, well, it's almost a sure sign that you are. It is in us, and it causes us to do or not do certain things. It can motivate us, and it forms our perspectives. It forms our opinions. And it is on these things that so often we base our decisions. This morning, in order for us to come out right in these things, in order for us to end up right in these situations, I believe it is a must. It is imperative that my life, my mind, my opinions, my motives are brought into the subjection of Jesus Christ. That is the only way that it will work. Under Him, is the only place that we will find balance. It's under Him that we will somehow be able to have a proper understanding and be able to make proper decisions and be able to come to a rest in life. You know, going back to these illustrations again, and these illustrations that I gave you, the reactionary does perceive an element of truth. And so often it is that way. It has an element of truth to it. So often we find that. Your worker, that worker that you work alongside of, your fellow worker, maybe he is too slow. That is the situation. He is too slow. Maybe those shoppers, maybe they are greedy. Maybe 20 minutes before church is a bit long. Maybe big brother does talk way too much. Maybe your past church was dead and formal. Or maybe it was apostate and slipping. That could be. That could be the possibility. However, if I react to those things and you allow that point to carry you along, it's going to take you to the other extreme. It's going to take you to the opposite ditch. It will. That's how reactions work. Why is it that way? Why is my reaction going to carry me the other extreme? I believe it's because the focus is wrong. Our focus is in the wrong place. That is why. We're focusing on the wrong thing. We'll talk more of focus in just a bit. But left ditch does not mean that right ditch is the middle of the road. We know that. We understand that. No, the middle of the road is the middle of the road. Truth is truth. Error is error. And our focus must be on the Word of God to be in the middle of the road. It has to be on this book that we have before us, God's written Word. We must focus not on past error, but on truth as found in Jesus Christ, His Word, and God's will for me personally. And as we keep that focus straight and clear, I believe it is there that we will find the balance that God has for us. It's there that we will find freedom from possibly the negative things that we have faced in life in the past. And it's there that we will find ourselves in a position to discern properly, to discern correctly how and what we should live and practice and believe and promote. I say this morning that if we focus on our negative past experiences or on the negative experiences going on around us, our reactions will grow into a monster that will dominate our lives and will draw us downward. Yes, we can learn. We need to learn from those things, but our focus must not only be on those things. If we simply spend all our time running away from those negatives, we will become consumed with refuting and rejecting those things. Those negative things will keep popping up. We cannot stop those things from happening. It will be around us, and finally it will make us slide further and further into the left ditch just to stay out of the right ditch or vice versa. Another thing that so often happens is that our extreme reactions promote reactions in our children as well. It is something that very quickly can be passed on from generation to generation. If we as parents find ourselves in this, we get in this rut of reacting negatively all the time, just severe reactions. It's something that very quickly will get passed on. Not the kind of thing that we want. We will be worried and suspicious and unsettled. Why? Because our reactions are ruling our life. They are driving our actions and warping our opinions. Okay, we've looked at a lot of negative things. What is the solution? I want to just focus on the negative. What is the solution to this? And we've talked just a little bit about that already, about our focus. Let's look at God's solution. Turn with me to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, some wonderful verses here for us regarding this subject. Let's read verses 31 and 32, John 8:31 Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If is what Jesus says. If you continue in what? It says, if you continue in my word, in this book, that is what is going to confirm your discipleship. In this book, in my word, you will find and know and understand truth. And it's that truth that is going to make you free. It's that truth that will make us free from negative reactions. It will, not maybe, not hopefully, it will, it shall make you free. I think these Pharisees that Jesus was talking to here had a bit of reaction in them. Verse 33, they answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and we were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? In other words, we don't need to be made free. We are not in bondage to anyone. What are you talking about? Well, these Pharisees had a lot of pride and jealousy and other problems in their life. But mixed in all of that, there was reaction. There was superior feelings. There was a despising of those who did differently than what they promoted. And what was Jesus' response? Reading on, verse 34, Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen from your Father. In these verses, I see Jesus speaking to our problem, the snare of reaction. This is not really a complex problem. It is really very simple. It seems like Jesus is bringing out here. Actions, motives, intentions, beliefs are black and white. They're right and wrong. They're evil or righteous. They are of God or they are of Satan. There is truth and there is error. Sin brings bondage. Truth brings freedom. And we must seek. We must desire. We must find truth. Truth is found in Jesus Christ. Truth is found in the Word of God. And as we do that, as I already mentioned, we will find freedom from reaction. Can we lay aside the reactions we have against past influences in our experiences? Can we do that? Can we lay those things aside, lay those reactions aside and think about what God's will is for me in these situations? What can I learn from these situations? What is God's will for me? Maybe we think, yes, but I'm right in my reaction to this. Well, does God's word back up my position? Maybe I was wrong. Am I humble enough to admit that I was wrong in my reaction? Can I focus on the truth of God's word instead of on my feelings and my opinions and my ideas? Again, that is where we need to find ourselves to find true freedom. What was Jesus' response to the Jews who were with him? Verse 37, I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. In other words, it's not your upbringing, it's not your heritage. It's not from your genealogy. It's your heart. It's your rejection of me. It's your rejection of God's word. That is the problem with reactionaries. It's not the upbringing. It's not their heritage. It is their heart. So again, what is the solution? It is simply this: a decision, a commitment, a determination to know and perceive and obey truth as God reveals it to us, as God reveals it to me. It's to focus on truth, to focus on God's will, to focus on God's way, to focus on His Word, and not on others' errors and shortcomings. You know, maybe I should slow down. Maybe I work too fast. Would it be a possibility that I work too fast and am a bit sloppy? Maybe I should learn from my coworker. And you know, maybe getting to church 20 minutes early is okay. Maybe there's nothing wrong with that. Maybe I should talk a bit more. Maybe not necessarily as much as my talkative brother, but I could open up a little bit more. Maybe I should appreciate tradition more. What do I do when those reactionary feelings arise? I believe that we must get down on our knees and pray to God that He would somehow show us the truth as found in His Word. Let it sink in. Let it do its purging work. Again, Jesus said, the truth is what's going to make you free. Two things yet in closing. Number one, identifying reaction in my personal experience. How do I know? So how do I know if I am reacting or not? When someone does or says something that I have a problem with, how do I know if my thoughts on the matter, what I would like to tell that person, how do I know if I'm just plain reacting or it's based on the conviction of a truth? Well, in this area, I guess I wish I had it a little more settled in my mind. I don't have all the answers to this, but several months ago, I shared a message about convictions, and I pondered that a bit as I thought about this of reactions. You know, a conviction is a strongly held belief, and we looked at the definition of reaction as a response to a stimulus. So the question that comes to us, What is motivating me? I believe we need to look at that and decipher, and we can do this with the help of our brethren, the help of one another. What is motivating me? Is it a strongly held belief from the truth of God's Word? Or is it simply a response to a stimulus? In your spiritual experience, what is it? One or the other of these forces are moving us. These forces move us in so many ways. They move us in our work habits. They move us in our lifestyle, the way we dress, the way we relate to other people, the way we relate to authority, the way we train our children. On and on we could go. Secondly, then, is dealing with reaction. If and when we discover in our experience that we have been reacting wrongly, we have a choice. What am I going to do with it? Will I change? Will I grow in what God wants me to be? Will I leave those reactions behind? Well, that's my desire for my life. It's an area that I want to grow in and make sure that my reactions, that I'm not reacting negatively. I feel like at times I have done that, and it's my desire to evaluate those things and grow in this area and make sure that I'm responding correctly to situations in my life. Let's let those reactions behind. It is a cost of following Jesus. Philippians 2:1-5. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also in the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let's kneel for prayer.